Why don't you join me over in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. Going to take a look at some things that, I don't know really, I guess they're rather simple, but those kind of things that maybe, you know, there's a phrase that some people use. It's called familiarity breeds contempt. Well, I don't know how much I agree with that. I guess in some situations it could. I mean, you don't want to get too familiar with a rabid pit bull. That could breed contempt very quickly. But in the body of Christ, sometimes it seems like that we make a lot of assumptions about ourselves as individuals. Not so much about each other, but about ourselves as individuals. And we end up going along, and it's like we've kind of forgotten some things, even though we didn't really forget them. I know a good example, at least I think it's a pretty good example, is back when I was playing ball, baseball and softball and things like that. We used to practice a lot. And, you know, after a while it would seem boring. It's like, oh man, you know, why do we have to keep doing this? Well, so that when it's game time, you're ready to perform what you're supposed to perform. And it's interesting how that you could tell a difference. It did make a difference in what you did. And that's, you know, when I got to playing softball, it was interesting. We practiced a little bit before the season started, and then didn't do too much practicing after the season began. And that was one of the reasons why that I liked to play so much. I would play as many nights of the week as I could. In fact, at one point I was playing like four nights a week, tournaments on the weekend. And that kept you ready for the next game when you're playing that much. But you could tell the guys that didn't play very much, usually, unless they were really gifted. You could tell the guys that didn't play very much and didn't practice much, because when it would show up in game time, oftentimes they were sloppy on the field and it was easy pickings. For some of us teams that, you know, we were always out there, always on the go. Well, in the body of Christ, there are some similar principles. Things, well, just like faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Everybody's got that one memorized. However, if we forget it, even though we remember it, then there may not be a whole lot of faith coming, because we may not be in the word. You know what I'm saying? And what's interesting is that when you get into a service, like a, you know, you turn on Brother Copeland on TV, and man, he's giving you a sermon about faith. By the time that program's off, you know, you're ready to go memorize the Bible. It's like, oh yeah, faith comes by hearing. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to get into it. Then you hear somebody like, you know, Norville Hayes. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard Norville Hayes, but he's an awesome teacher when it comes to worship. And you get into one of his services and he starts teaching you about worship. And it's like, yeah, praise God, I'm going to go home and worship all night long. You hear Charles Capps, he talks about confessing the word. After you get done listening to one of his services, it's like, bless God, I'm going to confess the rest of my life. You hear Dave Roberson, he starts talking about praying in tongues. And it's like, yes, I'm going to go pray in tongues. Well, see, these are all things that we know, most of us at least. We've heard this, we've been taught these things. And sometimes we need reminders, I think. And even though we don't think we need reminders, I know many times after I hear messages that I'm very well familiar with, by the time the message is over, it's like, you know, I really needed that. That really helped me. I knew those things. I mean, I heard it differently from this person and his personality, but yet I still kind of knew them. Even so, I am really glad that I heard that message. And that's one of the reasons why I like to listen to the tapes of certain ministers, you know, over and over and over again, because it's constantly feeding, and those things, those principles, those ideals will become ingrained. And tonight, that's kind of what we're going to be doing, is looking at something that, it's a really simple principle, it's something really I think we all know, but maybe we're going to see it a little bit differently tonight in these passages. Now in Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 7. We'll start there. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. And we'll stop there. Now really what we're going to do is look primarily at verses 12 through 17 and kind of get a little bit better understanding of what Paul's saying in this. Well, in verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, this is interesting. What Paul's talking about here, like in this verse 12 and this verse 13, he was talking about perfect and having apprehended and attained and so forth. He's making reference to levels of spiritual maturity. Now, in this, Paul is one of the people I surely would have associated with great spiritual maturity. I just don't think that you're going to be able to sit down and hear God so clearly that you can write what will become Scripture and not have a pretty good working relationship with Him. But yet he makes this statement. He says, look, I'm not trying to give you the impression that I have reached the full level of maturity. I'm writing this to you Philippians. And even though you've heard a lot of great things about me, even though I've done a whole lot of really neat things for God, and His power has flown through me, and I've been able to come and minister to you the mysteries of God, the secrets that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. And not only have I taught you about those things, but I also taught you how you could tap into them for yourselves and not have to stand around and wait for me to come back or receive one of my letters. In spite of all of this, please, Philippians, don't think that I consider myself to have reached the ultimate when it comes to spiritual maturity. I have not done that. That's an awesome statement for someone to make, especially, you know, a guy like Paul. And he says, well, you know, let me just mention something about this. Your level of spiritual maturity can become a very dangerous thing. Because the one of the things that the devil will come at you with the more that you grow in God is pride. And if you'll take the time to go back and read everything that Paul wrote, in almost every single one of his letters, the issue of pride comes up. Especially in 2 Corinthians, where he's talking about where he got caught up with the Lord and received great revelations and so forth. And if you study that out, and maybe sometime I'll break that down and teach on it, but I'll just throw this out, and maybe it'll cause you to want to go back and read on it. If you really take your time and study that entire passage out, because that's where he talks about, you know, the thorn and so forth, messengers from Satan. God didn't make him sick in this. There was a thorn, and it was a messenger of Satan, the devil, not messenger from God. It was a messenger from Satan, the thorn. Now, there are a lot of things that could have represented, a lot of ways that thorn, that word, it wasn't a literal thorn. You all understand that. Well, what's interesting is that if you read passages like about, well, the half chapter before that, or chapter before that, and then keep reading on, read it very closely, you're going to figure out that one of the things this messenger from the devil was trying to do was to get Paul caught up in pride, to destroy him. It becomes, knowing that now, when you go back and read it, it's going to become very plain to you that that was one of the areas of attack that this that Satan was leveling against him. And so, the more that you grow in God, the more the devil's going to try and come at you to tear you down with pride, to destroy your life, to destroy everything about you. I know of a man, and I'll be very vague about this, but he's a man who should have known better. And he sat down with someone one time, a minister, and they were talking about some issues. And this minister said, but you know, brother so-and-so, you're not even showing up for the church services. And this man said, I don't need church anymore. I've already learned all I could possibly learn. I've already gone as far as I can go, and I don't need church anymore. Now, that's dangerous, because that's pride, and it could lead to some very severe consequences. And here's Paul making a statement. Look, I've raised the dead. I've opened blind eyes. All these wonderful things that I've done. I've written these letters that have come from even a personal audience with Jesus Christ, but I want you to know something. I do not consider myself to have reached the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. In other words, Paul is saying there's still room for growth. Even in a guy like me, there is still room for growth. Praise God. You say, praise God? Why would you say that, Pastor? I mean, we're not even at Paul's level yet. And it's golly, it seems so difficult. And yet, you seem happy that there's still room for growth, even in a guy like Paul. Well, yeah, I'm happy. Because the last thing I want to think is that there's ever a chance to reach the peak. I don't ever want to believe that it is possible to get so far into God that there's no further to go. I am so grateful to know there's more. The last thing I want to think is that this is it. So praise God, Paul recognized that, and he shares it with us. And he's saying, even if you get to the point that God changes his mind and decides he's going to write some new Bible and he's going to do it through you, even if you get to that point, there's still room for growth. There's still room for spiritual growth and development. Praise God. That is awesome. But he goes on and he says, look at verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It sounds to me like at this particular point, Paul's not totally convinced that he has fulfilled his ministry here on earth. And he says, listen, regardless of anything that's happened, regardless of what you think, what you've heard, I just want to share this with you. I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the goal that he has set before me. Now, do you understand the only way that you can press towards something is if you are facing that something? Because as long as you are facing the past, you don't have a clue what direction to go in the future. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And, you know, thinking about that, earlier in this chapter, he talks about a lot of things that he has lost, and he suffered the loss of this, that, and the other, and so forth. But he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, you need to understand, this isn't just all the bad things. This would also include all the accomplishments, all the churches that he has started, all the blind eyes that he's been used to open, and all the other miracles, all the other things that have operated through him, and all the other, what we would call, you know, there's another plus on my side, and all these other things that he had done. He's saying, listen, yes, it's true, I've gone in and I've won a lot of people to Jesus Christ, and there have been signs and wonders and miracles. In fact, in one place, he even makes the statement that the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all miracles, power, the demonstrations of God's power. He says, but you know what? Yeah, I know those things have happened. Good things and bad things have happened. But I cannot afford to sit back and think about all the great things that have happened. All the prayer lines where I ministered to people and the power of God fell and miracles took place. I cannot sit around and just think about that. Because if I do, I'm focusing on the past. See, a lot of times when we talk about, you know, you got to get beyond your past, we're thinking of all the negative. But you know, it's also true concerning the positive. People, if the only thing that you can talk about is the way it used to be, boy, you remember back when God did this, back when God did that, back when God did, yeah, you know, I remember as a little boy, back when God did, and boy, Grandma told me about back when God did. Well, did God like go on vacation? He's not doing anything anymore? Sadly, no. And it's not His fault. People get to look into the past. Look, you know, you can't compare. Let me put it like this. You cannot use the past exploits of somebody else as the standard for today. Your standard for today must be Jesus Christ. That must be the standard. See? Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth unto those things which are before. You know, I got to thinking about this. Thinking about where I am with God. What we might call it, you know, a spiritual journey or your maturity or things like that. And you know, there are times in our lives when it seems like that we're stuck in the mud. Anybody felt like that besides me? You know, Dave Roberson writes about things like that, and he calls it an impasse. Yeah, it can be an impasse. But it can also be more than that. Complacency is very dangerous for Christians. When you think about where you are, I want you right now to think about your life. Compare your life now, what's going on spiritually in you, with what was going on 5 years ago. Well, now for some of you, it's like, I can't even see 5 years ago compared to where I am now. But what about 2 years ago? Or what about 1 year ago? And I got to thinking about this. Paul says, you know, I'm pressing toward this mark. And I thought, okay, what am I doing? Am I pressing toward this mark? I want where I am to become where I've been, and where I'm not to be where I am. Let me say that again. I want where I am to become where I've been, and where I'm not to become where I am. In other words, I don't want to get stuck here and this is where I stay. I can look back and see where I've been, but all past of my life here, the places where I've been, at one point in time, those places were where I am. And not only were they where I am, but some of those places were also, all of those places, were also where I wasn't. You see what I'm saying? And so I started off at point A, and everything was where I wasn't. Well, I didn't stay there. I started making some progress. And so where I am became where I was, and where I wasn't became where I am. But I had to do something to make that happen. You know, we talk about, you know, Jesus leading us by the hand. He can't lead you anywhere if you don't take His hand. And even then, you can put up resistance. You ever seen somebody out trying to walk a rebellious dog? Jerk, jerk. That little dog's head is just, it doesn't want to go. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus, except He doesn't jerk. He just says, I'm not going backwards. I'm waiting for you right here. When you decide that you want to go with me, here's my hand. Just take it, and I will lead you. But if you start going back that way, I'll let you go. Because I know what's supposed to be accomplished here. I know what's supposed to happen. And I'm not going to regress just to satisfy you. When you decide you want to keep going forward, I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. Well, I don't want to stay where I am. Where I'm not is where I want to be. I want to keep going forward. Now, look what Paul says in this. First off, he gives himself as an example in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Well, really, verses 13 and 14, he is essentially saying what I just said. He's saying, I want where I am to be where I've been, and where I'm not to be where I am. Forgetting those things which are behind, I know where I am right now, but I'm going to press toward the mark that I have not yet attained to. I'm going to go where I'm not, so that where I'm not becomes where I am. And when I get there, I'm going to keep going beyond that. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to press. What's interesting is that word press, it means, it gives the image of you have to do it. It's the image of you making this progress, you doing your part. Well, he says, he gives himself as an example in verses 13 and 14. Then in verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now let's look at this verse. 13 and 14, he's giving himself as an example. I'm going to keep going forward in God. In verse 15, let's rearrange this just a little bit at the beginning of the verse. Where it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Let's say it like this. As many as be perfect, let us therefore be thus minded. As many as be perfect. In other words, all of you out there who are like me, and you don't want to stay where you are, if you want to keep going deeper into God and growing in a deeper level of spiritual maturity, let us therefore be thus minded. Thus minded what? Well, what he just got through telling you there in verses 13 and 14. Don't consider everything you have done to be the ultimate pinnacle of spiritual success in God. Sure, you've apprehended or you've done good things. However, don't let that become the standard that you're satisfied with. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth to those things which are before you and press toward the mark. That's the thus minded that he's talking about. He said, listen, if you, like me, are wanting to become more and more spiritually mature, then together we have to be thus minded, or we have to have this kind of a mindset. Forget the past. Don't dwell where you are and press toward the mark that's set before you. Continue going forward in that goal. And he says, if you're like that, the latter half of verse 15, if this is what you want, if this is the direction that you want to go, if you're going to be thus minded, if you're going to decide that I don't want to remain where I am, but I want to go where I'm not, if that's the decision you want to make, but look at the last half of verse 15. I'll paraphrase it. If there's anything on the inside of you that doesn't want to, God's going to reveal it to you. Now, see, that doesn't happen unless you make a decision to find out what it is. If there's something on the inside of you, you know this kind of thing, you know, you ever felt like that you had finally conquered anger? I am walking in so much peace. I am walking in so much love. I'll never have another temper tantrum outburst. Ah, yes, I can just feel the glory coming out of my pores. Oh, this is so wonderful. And then something happens. You blow up like a volcano. And then afterward, you feel like a dog. It's like, how could I have done that? I didn't think I would ever do anything like that again. What's wrong with me? You better watch out. Because right about then, the devil will try to jump on your shoulders and say, you're a failure, you're a bum, you're a dog, you're a no good. Ha, Christian, barely. Oh, look at what you did. Yeah, he'll try to play on that. Well, the reason that happened was because you had the potential for that. Even in the midst of all that glory coming out of your pores, you still had, we'll call it, a root of a volcano of anger on the inside of you. And all it took was the right circumstances to trigger that thing. So sure, you may have conquered 9 of the 10 things that would always cause you to blow up. Number 10 still there. Now, God, here in this 15th verse, he's saying, it's like he's telling us, look, you do, if you have sat down and you have made this decision with everything in you that you know can make a decision, you have made a decision, I'm going to be thus minded. I am going to forget those things behind, and where I'm not is where I want to be. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to press toward that mark. God says, okay, when you get to that point, then you're going to do what's necessary to press toward that mark. That's going to give me the opportunity to work in your life and open your eyes to see whatever is in you that would hinder you from reaching that point. Because see, until you make the determination you want to reach that point and you're going to do what's necessary to reach that point, it's like you slam the door on God, what can He show you? You don't even have the desire to go beyond where you are. And so you just go every day the rest of your life, just same old, same old. And there's all kinds of stuff on the inside of you that God really wants to show you to help you get past it so that you can continue going forward with Him. Well, this is what Paul is saying in this 15th verse. He's saying, listen, those of you that want to be perfect, if you want to be spiritual mature, those of you that are like me, that you want this transformation to take place, then let us, therefore, be thus minded, the way I've just described to you in verses 13 and 14. And if there's anything on the inside of us that would hinder our walk in this, God's going to reveal it unto us. Nevertheless, verse 16. Now look at this. Whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now this is incredibly powerful. He's saying, whereto we have already attained. In other words, now you think about your life. You think about where you are right now in your walk with God. However mature you are in the Lord, you think about this. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, he's saying, you think back across the years of your life. You think about where you were and how you got to where you are right now. Whatever it took to get you from there to here, this is what you're going to have to do to get from here to there. Now, let me illustrate this. How many of you at one time were sinners? Raise both hands. He was twice a sinner. something happened. You did something that caused you to go from being sinner to saved. That something was you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In other words, you made a decision to do something that you had never done before, something you had never appreciated before. You made a decision, I am going to do something different in my life to go from being sinner to saved. And so you did. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now you're born again. Well, you didn't stop there. You also made a decision that you were going to start attending church. And so you did that. You started showing up for church. Now, I don't know what kind of church you grew up in, so I'm just going to give a generic example. I'll kind of use myself in this. Made a decision to start going to church. Well, mom and dad made me, okay? But again, we're using a generic example here. You get born again, you make a decision to go to church. So now I'm going to go to church every Sunday, and here I go. I show up on Sunday morning. The preacher says, well, we got service on Sunday night. And I think, well, I probably ought to go then because I'm going. It's the thing I guess I ought to do. So I go to church on Sunday night. Then on Sunday night I find out they're going to have service on a Wednesday night. And I think, well, gee whiz, man, this is awesome. I think I'll show up on Wednesday night. So I showed up on Wednesday night. And so I began doing things that I had never done before. First off, I got born again. After I got born again, I started attending the church. Now, as I'm attending the church, they're teaching me things. They're teaching me things in my Sunday school class. They're teaching me things on Sunday morning, teaching me on Sunday night, teaching me on Wednesday night. I keep getting taught over and over, many different things, new concepts, and I'm learning all of this. In other words, I'm doing something I'd never done before, and as I'm doing this, I'm taking steps. I'm maturing. I'm becoming more and more perfect or spiritually mature in the Lord. Well, somebody comes along and they begin to teach me something that I had never heard before. What was it you called? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I read about that in the Bible, and I heard a little bit about the Holy Ghost, you know, I was going to church. But you say this is something I need, huh? Why do I need this? Oh, there will be an endowment with power. There will be signs and wonders and miracles. God will give you the ability to pray in tongues. You'll edify yourself. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. You'll pray the secrets and the mysteries of God. Praise God, that sounds... I want that. It's the same thing Paul did. Now I know that I want that. And so, just like when I got born again, I walked to the altar and I said, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. And so they lay hands on me and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm able to pray in tongues. Well, I make another decision. And the next decision I make is, I will pray in tongues. I had the ability to when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and received that gift, but now I'm making a decision to do that thing that I was seeking after. So now I begin to pray in tongues. It's like, boy, this is so neat. And I can feel changes are taking place. Then somebody begins to teach me about worship. Somebody begins to teach me about, you know, confessing the Word and reading the Word. Somebody begins to teach me about fasting. And so I'm learning all of these things. What I'm doing is I'm changing what I do, and I am incorporating things into my life that I had never done before, and the result of that is I am pressing toward the mark. See? Paul says, we'll look at it again in verse 16. Whereto we have attained, or in other words, what did it take to get you where you are today? How did you get to this level of spiritual maturity? Whereto we have already attained. Take a hint. Walk or live by the same rule and mind or obey or live in the same way. In other words, if it took all of those things to get me from where I was to where I am, and I want to go beyond this, I got to keep doing it. I can't stop. I have to keep doing this. Now let me expand on that a little bit. If it took 30 minutes a day of praying in the Holy Ghost to get me from where I was 3 years ago to where I am today, I guarantee you there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to have to go beyond 30 minutes a day and maybe go toward 40 minutes, or maybe toward 45, or maybe toward an hour, or maybe toward an hour and 15 minutes. Knowing all the time that God understands my lifestyle, my family obligations, my responsibilities in all of those areas. Nevertheless, if I started off sinner and I ended up saved because I did something, and then I grew in the Lord to the point of understanding about the Holy Ghost, and then I kept growing in the Lord until I understood about I needed to pray in tongues, and then I started praying in tongues 15 minutes a day, and that got me to here. And then I started praying 30 minutes a day, and that got me to here. But I want to end up, you can't even see where I want to end up. Then all of the increase, the incremental steps that I took of change in my life to get me where I am, there will be additional incremental steps. For example, maybe I'm already praying, say, 3 hours a day in tongues. Now, that's a lot of time for a lot of people. But I'm not doing any worship whatsoever. Well, I may want to add some worship to that. In fact, I may want to change and spend 2.5 hours praying in tongues and 30 minutes of pure worship, because I wasn't doing any worship before. Or maybe I'm doing 2.5 hours of praying in the Spirit, 30 minutes of pure worship, but I'm not doing anything with the Word. Well, I may want to fit the Word into that. In fact, I may want to train myself to be able to pray in tongues and read my Bible at the same time, and spend 30, 45 minutes of that time, that prayer time, doing that. And then maybe I'm doing all of those things, but I'm not doing any kind of fasting whatsoever. Are you starting to see that if I'm going to go beyond where I am right now, I have to have the same kind of attitude, and that is, if it was change which brought me from over there to here, then it's very possible additional change is going to be required to get me from here over to where I need to be, or to where I want to be, or to continue to grow. Now, you say, but Pastor, I honestly don't know how to fit anything else into my day. I mean, it seems like every second of my day is just completely tied up. And it's possible it may be. But you know, we all have 24 hours a day. And one thing I found is this. If we turn our watch over to God and explain to Him how everything is messed up and we just don't have any more time, but if He gives us or shows us how to better utilize our time so that we can give the extra time to Him, even if it's just 15 minutes, He's going to show you how to rearrange things to give Him that extra 15. He's going to show you where that 15 minutes has been buried, and you're going to be able to give it to Him. Likewise, it's very possible that we can look back and see how, boy, you know, at one time, man, I was a 60-minute praying in tongues kind of person a day. And now it's like some days it's 60, some days it's 15, some days it's none, some days it's 60. I've kind of slacked off, and I'm just kind of here. Paul says, remember what it took to get you where you are. Follow that same rule, and you're going to go beyond where you are to where you aren't. Look at what he says in the next verse. 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. In other words, I put myself, Paul says, before you as an example of this. I don't just sit back and do nothing. I continue to give myself to the Lord. Now, is it possible to reach a maximum amount of time that you can give to God. Yeah, that's possible. You only have 24 hours in a day. So if you force yourself to stay awake for 24 hours and you pray the whole time, you can't give any more than that. Okay? That's the far out and left field extreme. God expects balance. He expects you to get rest for your body. Because if you do not rest your body, it will die. It will stop functioning. And when it does, it's very hard for you to then lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Dead hands don't do a very good job on that. So yes, it is possible to get to a point in your life to where you are balanced in your family, in your job, or everything that you're doing, and giving God the proper amount of time that you're supposed to give Him. It is possible to reach that kind of a limit. But God's the one who can show you how to get to that limit. God's the one who can show you how to get past where you are. You don't have to remain stuck where it is. And right along with that, there are times where you're going to hit a God-ordained plateau. Now let me explain. I'm not talking an impasse that the devil would slap you in the head with. I'm talking about a place where God says, now look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just get alone with me and forget about everything else. You're not going to see great things happening in your life for the next certain period of time other than the time of fellowship you have with me. A good example of that was Gary Carpenter. God pulled him off the road and said, I want you to take the next year, I don't know exactly how many months specifically it ended up being, but let's just say year. I want you to take the next year, take no appointments, don't go out and preach anywhere. I want you to stay here with me. That is a plateau. It's not a negative thing, but it's a time where God says, let's just you and me fellowship intensely for a while before I take you into the next phase of whatever it is I've called you to do. When that happens, don't look at it as a dry period in your life. Now, there can be a temptation to do that, but don't look at it as such, because this is a very special time of training and preparation that God is doing in your life, getting you ready for the next thing that He wants you to do. And Paul says in this 17th verse, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. In other words, you look around, and I'll just use examples today. You look around and you mark the Smith Wigglesworths. You mark the John G. Lakes. You mark the Kenneth Hagins, the Dave Robersons. You mark these people, and you look at what they're doing. Look at what it took for them to get from where they were to where they are. Look at the diligence that they put forth. Excuse me, look at the sacrifice that they made. And I know that I've identified people that are full-time in ministry, but I want you to understand they weren't always full-time in ministry. They had different kinds of jobs or different types of employment. Copeland, he flew Oral Roberts' airplane for a while. There were other jobs that he had. Same thing with Oral Roberts. I mean, these guys, Smith Wigglesworth, he was a plumber. And so, don't develop the mindset that it is, quote, full-time ministry. No, it's full-time relationship with God. See? And Paul's saying, you mark the people who have made as a priority their relationship with Jesus Christ. You use them for an example, because anybody who has made their relationship with Jesus Christ as a priority, they're going to go from where they are forward. They are going to be pressing toward the mark. They are going to be developed. God is going to take them beyond any place they've ever been in their lives. And He says, mark those people and look at what it took for them to get beyond where they are. And the same thing is true for every single one of us, no matter who we are. Wherever you are right now, You may feel like you're in the driest place, the deadest place, the most frustrating point in your whole spiritual walk with God. And God's saying here in this message tonight, think about where you are right now and where you've been, where you were. Think about what it took to get you from where you were to where you are. That's what it's going to take to get you from where you are to where I want you to be. Develop the mindset that you just can't sit back and coast the rest of your life. You're going to have to continue doing whatever it took to get you to this point today. All of the hours that you prayed in days gone by are not enough to sustain you the rest of your life. You have to continue praying. You have to continue worshiping. You have to continue in the Word. Just like last night, when we made all of those confessions concerning finances, we were doing warfare against a spirit of poverty. We were doing warfare against spiritual forces that would try to hinder us in the area of our finances. We were doing warfare in that arena. Now, just because we did that last night, do you understand? It's not over. We have to continue doing these things. We have to continue to press on beyond where we are. God has not set limits on your life. Absolutely none. As far as who you are, what you are, and who you can become in Jesus, there are no limits. And God says, take a look at what Paul has written. Develop this mindset. Continue doing what you've done. Continue the increase. Continue applying. Continue working, praying, confessing, worshiping. Continue to do these things, lifting up your very life to God and asking Him to continue helping you to structure it in such a way so that you can go beyond where you've been. And be diligent about it. And Paul says, guys, I know what it takes to get here. I know what it took to get from where I was to where I am. And what worked for me, it's going to work for you too. Keep pressing toward that mark. Continue doing what you've done. Continuing your walk toward that level of maturity. Go ahead and stand up.